Alright, well, let's go on here in verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? In other words, why did the Jews resist the steward? And they resisted Moses, didn't they? But I say, did not Israel know? Yes, he said, yes, they knew. First Moses, now we talk about Moses, and Isaiah, and Elijah, and David here. Did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. Okay, so highlight the word jealousy there, because you'll be drawing a line from the word jealousy in verse 19 to the word jealousy there on verse 11. You see the word jealousy there? To provoke them to jealousy? Okay, and we'll talk about that, what that means. So highlight the word jealousy in verse 19. You can draw a line from word for jealousy 19 to jealousy in verse 11 of chapter 11. This is what's taking place today. What God is doing through the election of the stewardship, okay, is provoking to immolation many of those who are claiming the position of this lot. And okay, and all these mega ministries are competing. They're competing as concerning having a place of voice in order to establish their own vision. And this is what the prophets talked about. And many shall try to establish the vision, but shall fail. The prophet Daniel spoke about that. Many shall try to establish the vision, but shall fail. Okay, in other words, many religious leaders will try to promote their popularity into position of establishing a lot or standing in a lot in the end times. But they were never called of God to do that. Neither are they worthy to do that. But by standing forth, they become conflictive with that which God has selected and which he has sanctified. So this provokes them to jealousy and to emulation. They want to emulate, to compete with. So here we can see that Moses was competed against by Korah, because Korah wanted to step forth to be his intellectual qualifications and also his social position. Okay, qualified him, but Moses was brought to them. Okay, Moses was separated from the other side of the flood and then brought back to them on this side of the flood, even as Jesus will do the same thing. He came to this side of the flood only to return to his father to come back again. Okay, the back and forth, that's what Moses did. Okay, Abraham did that. Jacob did that. We will do the same thing. From this side of the flood, back to the Father, back to the Father, to the throne, and back down here again, and then back to the throne, to the 10th week. So first Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy. The steward, which God has called, reveals this, I will. I will. So highlight the word, I will. For Moses said, I will. The stewardship, which the Spirit is upon, will provoke the emulation. I will provoke you to jealousy. The challenge, that this would be a challenge for your faith, or a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. The man and the method which God elects for the purpose of restoration will always stir conflict to those who want to maintain the first seat position of tradition rather than the throne of God. And Satan wanted to maintain the first seat of tradition in the seventh heaven. He felt he was superior in qualification to that which was Adam, and in truth, he was. But God didn't elect him. That's why the Spirit of the Lord says that the elder shall serve the younger. Satan will serve Adam. Okay, Satan will serve Adam as also the Spirit will rule over the flesh. So the elder shall serve the younger, as Esau was then subjected to Jacob, though Esau threw off the yoke, but because of that he died. First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. So what he's saying right here, when he says, I will, the stewardship which I will elect will come from the outside and not from amongst your own rank. So I'll provoke you to jealousy by those which be of faith, so that by this you will try to immolate, and by the immolation you will wonder at the sign which I promote, the sign, or the blessing of Abraham. Okay, by them that are all people. What he's saying is, I will elect from among them, not those which are among these people, but among those which are of those people. As Jesus said, I have other sheep. I will select from among them those which consented to my Father. By them that are no people, being ignorant of the law, but yet not ignorant of God. And by a foolish nation will I anger you. yea, even those which transgressing my law. And you will debate, you will always be debating, okay, with my selection. And we can see this in Isaiah. Okay, when Isaiah penned this, penning these things by the mind of the Spirit, thinking that by penning these things, it was in reference to himself, it was perpetual to that pointing to the Messiah. So Isaiah is also very bold and says this, the stewardship, openly proclaim this, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made known to those that sought me not, that is by the aspiration or the law. Okay, and I was manifest, that is that they could see the face, they could see the face of God in the knowledge that I speak. And I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. Because I will give them dreams and visions. Okay, I will give them a living witness. And this is what God is doing today. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Okay, and they shall all know me. Through dreams and visions, God is making known his presence, even this time, and continually affirms and confirms what he is doing. Okay, but they will not all believe. Neither will they all listen. But they will harden their hearts. Many will harden their hearts. And that means they will stand against the stewardship on the premises of tradition. They will say tradition is longer than stewardship. And of course their tradition has always morphed from one form to another form. We can see that from the original writings, even of Calvin and Luther, Wesley. Even that which they penned has morphed into many different forms of interpretations. If they were alive, they would try to keep the purity of that. But of course, they did not continue to keep the purity of that by reason of death. So those which followed after them resourced the knowledge and engrafted that within another perception. So now you have a composition of all kinds of knowledge, many layers. Of all kinds of philosophies, even those which sprang out of the charismatic movement. They which came out of charismatic movement, when the Spirit moved, as people began speaking in tongues in Methodist church, speaking in tongues in the Wesleyan churches, speaking in tongues in Southern Baptist churches, speaking in tongues in the Lutheran churches, they came out from that, they gathered together, and then they began to resource their previous education into a composite. A composite gospel now exists today, and it's a stronghold of Satan. Whereas this is what God is now pulling down. They're worshiping new gods, newly gods that just came newly up. Gods who their forefathers over 150 years ago didn't even know. And that's what happened with Israel. When Israel came out of Egypt, they went into the land of Canaan, and after their purging and cleansing, within 100 years, 100 years, 200 years, even the times of David there, there was a morphing of philosophy to where an angel of the Lord had to set them straight. Imagine that. An angel came down from the seventh heaven and began walking from Bochim to Gilgal, from one town to another town, from one hamlet to another hamlet, one province to another province, and began to tell them, you are not worshiping the true God. You have broken the covenant. You are mixing commentaries and philosophies, with the gospel which Moses gave to you. Your faith is growing dim, and your attendance to the altar is weakening. So the angel preached, and the people wept upon the dawning of their conscience that they were not being obedient to God. Well, God is restoring the knowledge of this gospel even today to that stewardship which he elected. And is provoking to emulation and envy and jealousy. Many of those who step forth themselves to fulfill a lot, trying to fulfill the vision, but they were never called of God, to step in, in the place of what God has already prepared. As Satan wanted to step in Adam's shoes, God denied him and cast him out, and many of these ministers were trying to step in the shoes of the stewardship, and they also be cast out or called fallen away. So Isaiah, verse 20, is very bold in openly saying these things. I was found of them that sought me not. I was made known to those that did not seek me by the aspiration. I was made manifest because the face of God was seen by this knowledge as I speak, manifest in them that asked not after me. Because I will give them dreams and visions. And this took place even at times of Isaiah, and it multiplied even the days of Jesus. In the days of Jesus, the shepherds, keeping their flocks by night, dreams and visions. Mary and Joseph, dreams and visions. Zechariah and Elizabeth, dreams and visions. And people were hearing these tidings and this report that something of a great magnitude was going to unfold, and people were looking everywhere for the Messiah until the time of John the Baptist. And they actually thought, maybe this is the man. Okay, but John the Baptist testified and says, I'm not the Messiah. I'm only the forerunner of him. Okay, so dreams and visions, what God did there in the first century, God has done for thousands of years, and it's happening today in the 21st century. Dreams and visions, what he is doing, affirming and confirming and confirming again and again and again, the second eighth week, through dreams and visions. The time that we live, the nearness of the rapture, what he's doing and establishing in the church today. But not all will hear. Okay, and not all will believe. A remnant will be saved. Well, let's go on here. Let's look at the word gainsaying in verse 21. But to Israel, he says this, being those of the flesh, he warned them. But to Israel, he says this, all day long have I stretched forth my hands. I sent my stewardship, and I gave dreams and visions. All day long have I stretched forth my hands and my elders unto a disobedient gainsaying people. So hide the word gainsaying there. You can make another notation next to that, to verse 11. All right, verse 11, for he says, whosoever believes on him should not be ashamed. Okay, because the scripture says this, or the volume, again, preaches to us, the volume of the book. Now, the volume of the book was first inscribed in Jesus, called the Word of God. Okay, Jesus is the living inscription of the volume. And every letter that is preached proceeds from this word. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him should not be ashamed. Okay, those that bear the yoke and the tokens of our faith for these things, believes on him for this person, should not be ashamed, because this hope will not diminish, but increase. Your hope will not diminish, but shall increase, if you believe on him. If you believe on him. Not it, but on him. So the gainsaying people are not believing on him, the stewardship, because this is the witness now. Okay, by this witness, he can answer for his faith against those which seek to condemn it, which are the gainsayers. And of course, if you go on in Facebook, you can see a lot of gainsayers in there. They want to stand against the stone and the foundation. Okay, against the stone and the foundation which God is building. They refuse to mirror the pattern of the Holy City, New Jerusalem, by denying the apostles, or replacing the one by a foundation with their own. Okay, and that's why Paul says, the Lord knows them that are his. Because in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Okay, the Lord knows them that are his. Those which are the defiled conscience, the wood of the earth, being earthy, the earthy gospel. Okay, or the gold and silver, those which are born from above, the heavenly gospel. The gospel of man versus the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of man is called that which is the perverse gospel. Okay, they pervert it. That's what Paul brings out in Galatians chapter 1. He's warning the Galatians there is another gospel that's being preached, which is not the truth of God, or the grace of God in truth. Okay, there is another gospel being preached, which is the gospel of man, earthly, sensual, and devilish. Okay, wood, hands, stubble. The Lord knows them that are his. So let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That is to depart from the tokens of the waters to embrace the tokens of fire, the tokens which are from above. The gainsayers want to maintain the position of their justification with the tokens of water, okay, being earthly, sensual, and devilish. There's no work of regeneration in that which is of darkness, but there is the work of regeneration in that which is of the light. Okay, so the stewardship is stretching forth his hand, making known, standing within a gate. Okay, standing within a gate, making known these tidings to turn the hearts of the people from their idolatry to the true God. The idols of the heart need to be subdued, need to be purged or consumed and burnt in fire, trampled upon and strewn upon the waters. Now, you ever wonder why they did that? Okay, that was prophetic. Okay, they took the idols. They burned the idols to dust and then picked up the dust and strewn it upon the waters. Okay, the waters bring forth that which is of death. Okay, Moses did the same thing with the idol. Burning the idol to ashes, he strewed it upon the water. Okay, which shows that these things are born of this dimension. It's an enemy of righteousness. Okay, the idols of man are the enemies of righteousness. The philosophy and perception of man refuses to bow the head or to bow the knee to that which is from above, okay, the superior, okay, the Lord God Almighty. So he says, I stretched forth my hands unto disobedient, gainsaying people. In other words, he spoke reproof to the rebels and corrected those which sowed doubt. And those which claim, they were claiming the name of God, which claim me, and despise the Gentiles, and refuse those I send. Okay, and this is what Jesus brought out in the parable concerning constructing a vineyard. He constructed a vineyard and made a wine vat, okay, and prepared everything, and left and went to a far country. And then he sent his servants in order to receive gifts of their labor, but the people refused to give gifts or labor of their labor to the servant, and that's what they're doing today. They're refusing to reciprocate the charity of this knowledge, and by doing that, the Lord will, as he's testified, I will destroy those wicked men. I'll destroy those wicked men. He will bundle the tares together and burn them. The angel of the Lord has been sent forth from the throne of God and is bundling the tares together. But those which walk uprightly, those which consent to the grace of God, will be gathered into the barn. Okay, they will be received of the Lord. Because we possess within us a vessel of gifts. Our vessel is full of gifts. Now let's go to chapter 11 here. And he continues on his thought here. He says, I say then, as I repeat about this report, who has believed the report? I say then, as God cast away his people, those he selected to be a sign to challenge the nations. When he says here, God forbid. I'll say that again. As God cast away his people, that means those he selected, okay, to be a sign and to challenge the nations. Now he elected that which is the flesh for the flesh. He adopted that which is the spirit to himself. Okay, we see the election of the flesh of a temporary nature, but that which is the adoption of the eternal nature. Okay, so we see Israel of the flesh as those which he elected to preserve the history. Okay, so that those which preserve the history for our benefit today, okay, that through the comfort of the scriptures we have hope, we can see this divine pattern. If they did not fulfill the task, okay, which God assigned to them to preserve this history, we would not have anything to build upon in regarding the direction for the church today. Okay, so they were faithful in maintaining their consistency in this record, even though they were faithless in their heart. I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am also an Israelite, the seed of Abraham and the tribe of Benjamin. That is of the flesh. That is the flesh to preserve this history, to benefit others. And we can see that has been a benefit today. Okay, but even though God has assigned them to that task, the assignment itself does not validate their faith. Okay, they're just fulfilling a task. Okay, verse 2. God has not cast away his people. Okay, those which consented, he never cast away. Okay, but the protesters will be cast away. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew, those which he knew in his bosom. Because even among those of the flesh, there were those which are of faith. Even those which are the flesh. Annas and Caiaphas were protesters, but they were religious protesters. But God had consenters among those protesters, even as Nicodemus. Okay, Nicodemus was also a very learned man and a doctor of the law, but he was a consenter. He's the one that came to Jesus by night. And Jesus spoke to him slight reproof and also brought correction to him. He said, those which are born of the Spirit are like the wind. You can't tell whence they come and where they go. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. In other words, those which are the flesh cannot understand what God is doing, but those which are born of the Spirit can understand what God is doing. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious elite of that time, okay, stood against the Messiah. Even though they fulfilled the task, okay, of maintaining a consistency and preservation of this knowledge. So we'll go on here in verse 2. God has not cast away his people, those which consented, those which he foreknew, which is in his bosom, the consenters in his bosom. Okay, don't you know what the scripture says of Elijah? Elijah. How he makes intercession to God to Israel against Israel. You notice that their own prophets testified against their own people. Okay? The prophets testified against their own people. Okay? And it's the same thing that's happening today. Okay, the knowledge which we have received, we are testifying against the false religious system. Why are we doing that? We're informing so that those who are the consenters will hear, to see the conscience being awakened, that they will come out from among them. Elijah was speaking these things in the hope that they will come out from among them. And there were those that did come out from among them, even those which he didn't know yet. And as we read on, we'll see this testimony. So he says here, don't you know what the scripture says, even of Elijah? He says this, how he makes intercession to God against Israel, because he prays for clarity to show this contrast. So that by showing this contrast, the consenters of faith versus the protesters of the aspiration. Those which are born of the aspiration are the protesters. Okay, this is to show the contrast of the flesh, both of the protester and the consenter. Okay, and we'll see this as we read on. It will interpret itself here. Lord, they have killed your prophets. Who killed the prophets? Jezebel killed the prophets. And she was religious. Jezebel killed the prophets and she started her own theology school. We'll be reading about that in a moment here when we go to 1 Kings chapter 14, 18, verse 4. Lord, they have killed your prophets and dig down your altars. When he says, Lord, they, the word they which means the protesters. Because the protesters, they seek to control and to dominate, being jealous. Okay, jealousy now. They seek to kill. They want to remove. That's, of course, they're maintaining the satanic mindset, Satan's mindset, Satan's perception to steal, to kill, and to destroy. They will steal the knowledge. They will sow doubt. They will steal the knowledge. They will sow the doubt for the purpose of destroying God's plan. It's destroying God's plan through the stewardship. Yeah, but maintaining a self-righteousness of their own stewardship. Lord, they, the protesters, they seek to control and to dominate the consenters of the covenant. Lord, they have killed your prophets and dig down your altars. The altars, of course, were the contact tokens for faith. And then Elijah says, I'm all by myself. I am separated. I am left alone. And these protesters, they also seek my life. They try to convert me into the heir of Jezebel. Because Jezebel has a large university of theology. And she has to be pretty large in order to have as many prophets as she had. Okay, but God replies to him. So we're going to see what grace is going to do here. So what says the answer of God unto him? Or see what grace does to reply to those protesters. God gave a word to Elijah. He said this, I have reserved to myself. I have separated from Baal. That's what he's saying. I have separated from Baal. At that time, the false religious system. I have reserved to myself or separated from Baal to put my testimony on them calling out of Baal, the consenters of faith. I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Okay, in other words, those who were not corrupted by Jezebel's knowledge. 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee. They have not dined at the table in the circumcised or the unconverted believers. They have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal, whose knowledge is corrupt, right, having no power for faith. This was Jezebel's theology school, which confirms only her religious aspirations. Okay, now, we can see the history of this in 1 Kings chapter 18, but we can also see the results of this in Revelation 2:18. So let's turn to Revelation 2:18 first. Okay, I'm going over there right now, Revelation 2:18. This is the history of restoration in the first century. Okay, we also bear the history of the restoration in the 21st century. Okay, this is the burden which God has put on us, the restoration of the 21st century, as God put the burden upon the first century apostles, the restoration there. Revelation 2:18. To the angel of the church of Thyatira write these things. Now you notice that those which in Thyatira could not correct themselves. They couldn't correct themselves. So therefore, a steward had to go there in order to bring this knowledge or bring to their attention to this discrepancy. Now look what he says here. These things saith the Son of God, the highest authority and tether of faith, who has eyes like a flame of fire. So hide the word eyes as a flame of fire. We also have eyes of flame of fire regarding our discernment, because if your discernment's by the anointing, you have eyes of fire. If your discernment is by the waters, and then, of course, you're crying out. Okay, you're crying out of fear. Tears. You're crying out of fear. The eyes of the flesh cry out, but the eyes of the Spirit discern by the anointing. These things saith the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like a fine brass. Okay, verse 19. But I know your works. Okay, so highlight each one of these things right here, which we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, 6 things right here. Now, when he talks about works, it talks about there's a certain activity that's absent. Okay, though there's something that's present at the time, just like this could be said to the false religious system today. I know your works. Okay, I know your works, your charity, your service, your faith, your patience, and your works. The last be more than the first. You are showing forth a desire and form of activity, but it's not sanctified. Your charity. Now, we'll see here what kind of charity they're giving, and you're not going to like this. Their charity is not pure. Their charity is from a defiled conscience, and their prophecy is not the true prophecy of charity. It's psychophysy, the depths of Satan, okay, which means they are prophesying psychologically, okay, or psychology of health and wealth and well-being. Psychophysy. Okay, they prophesy of the signature of man, okay, and not the signature of Christ. And we'll see about these depths of Satan here. So notwithstanding a few things against you, because you suffer that woman Jezebel. So I hate the word Jezebel right there. Now, it doesn't mean that her name was Jezebel. But this is in references to a certain tradition. She started her own theology school and was independent of the covenant. So we knowing the history of Jezebel, we'll go there in a moment, knowing this history, we can see many independent ministries today following into the same snares as Jezebel. They're starting their own theology school. Okay, we can see this also in the Hammonites today, which has to do with a morphed gospel from southern from Calvinism or Southern Baptist preaching, a morphed gospel, which includes the gifts. Okay, which the number one is prophecy. They prophesy to each other. In other words, they're just prophesying from the imagination. Okay, they're not prophets. And this is what Bill Hammond, he created a whole different religion from that, another composite. He created another composite because he believed that the church was now into the prophetic age. And then the next age was supposed to be at the apostolic age, which of course he would affirm that that's what we're in today. So he is as a Jezebel himself. He created his own theology school, and this is what happened, which calls herself a prophetess. Okay, to teach. Now, he knows what she's doing in her own theology school. Teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication. So hide the word fornication, which has to do with unprofitable contact. That which is of the spirit is defiled. Okay, that which is of the spirit is defiled. The unprofitable contact. Okay, fornication. So my servants commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. That means because it has to do on their own altar. Thus laboring for her own ministry and self-esteem. It's leavened bread. It's leavened bread. Now, what did God do? And this is what God is doing today. God is granting the church a space of time. But that's going to run out, and it is running out. Okay, when a rapture happens, it's done. I gave her space to repent. So I like the word space there. I gave her space to repent of her fornication. Okay, which contact she was unfruitful with. Fornication. Okay, unprofitable contact. Okay, in other words, the altar was defiled, which they were tending. So they're attending their own shrine, an altar of bricks. Okay, a philosophy that reflected that. Okay, as also we can see in Haganism. Now, Haganism and Copelandism, okay, Hammondism, as well as also in Pat Robertson, okay, who's very much trying to establish a new world order, okay, or trying to establish the kingdom of God on earth by the laws and policies and constitutions of the United States. He's trying to establish the kingdom of God, okay, through the Constitution. Okay, that will never happen. Well, let's go on here so we get an idea of Jezebel and what she did. Okay, she was in a political position. She assigned herself a stewardship, and she also ensued her own form, okay, or own taste of a priesthood, a high priestess. I gave her space to repent of her fornication. To repent, which means she did not choose to join herself to the covenant. To repent. She did not turn to me. She turned to her own way. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not, because she stood to her justifications, the justifications of her own religious principles. Behold, I'll cast her into a bed, a false rest. And then they commit adultery with her. A bed has to do it into a trance of sleep, a derision. A trance of sleep and derision. This is what is happening today. As God is bundling the tares, God has also cast them into a bed or a trance of sleep. Only those that consent to the grace of God will come out from among them. They will not lie with Jezebel. Behold, I'll cast her into bed and they'll commit adultery with her in the great tribulation. Oh, and that's exactly what's going to happen. When the rapture happens, they're going to have a rude awakening. They mocked the rapture believers. They mocked the covenant of Christ. They mocked the stewardship and establishment of apostles. Okay. And now what do they have? Nothing but the great tribulation to face. Except they repent of their deeds. That means other false tokens. Now look at verse 23. I will kill her children with death or her disciples with stones. Okay, I will kill them with death or derision and shame. And all the churches, those which are faithful believers, shall know. They'll see the heart manifest this derision. Okay, and you can see that when you go into Facebook. The heart is manifesting its derision. Okay, the churches are observing and discerning. Something is happening. It's happening all over the world. It's either tornadoes destroying churches or people burning down churches, okay, or churches being destroyed by riot, okay, and war. God is breaking open the melon to release the seeds. If the melon isn't broken open, it would just corrupt. But if the melon is broken open, then the seeds are released, and this is what God is doing. God is breaking the melon open to release the seeds, just like the exploding melons that happened in China about 4 years ago. The exploding melons in China was a sign of things to come, that there's going to be a great awakening, a breaking open to release the seed. Those which escape are the consenters. Okay, but there will always be the majority will be protesters. They will die with the system. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts. Okay, that's what God is doing today. And I will give every one of you according to his works, his choices, either faith or derision. I'll either give him a gift or withhold a gift. If I give him a gift, then you increase in faith and charity. If I withhold a gift, then the soul continues to go into deeper darkness and the will weakens. When the will is weak, the soul is in darkness. But when the will is strong, okay, then the soul is full of light. But unto you I say in the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as he speak or as he prophesy. So highlight that in verse 24. The depths of Satan, or psychophysy. They prophesy the psychology of man, of health and wealth and well-being. Okay, they prophesy of the signature of man, okay, and not the signature of Christ. The signature of Christ has to do with repentance and building. Okay, but the depths of Satan, okay, has to do with that which is the diminishing of the capacity of the soul. The soul's collapsing in on itself. So Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. You just need to come out. I'm not going to put another burden on you. It's Jezebel that put the burden on you. I didn't put the burden on you. Okay, well, let's see more about this history here. Okay, so I'm turning over now to 1 Kings. Okay, as you get your sacrifices ready. I'll read some of Kings and we'll close here in Romans. Now, 1 Kings chapter 18. We'll start in verse 4. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. But she wanted to know where this Elijah was at. Remember, she threatened him. So we see that Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. Now, when did this happen? It happened because Israel fell into idolatry. And we can see this in chapter 16, verse 34. Okay, and turn to chapter 16. It's actually about the last verse. Chapter 16. Now, I'm still in 1 Kings. Jezebel came to the pinnacle of her derision, the throne of her own derision, because of this. This was a sign. And this, by the way, still stands today. Israel is in a state of apostasy because Jericho is built. Jericho was accursed of God, but Jericho has been restored, and Jericho is still a city, an active city today. As long as Jericho is an active city, Israel stands in the shadows of their apostasy, okay, which is called Sodom and Egypt. Okay, Sodom and Egypt. Israel, and so that's why if you pray for the, if you pray for God to bless Israel, you'll be praying against his will. Okay? And many Jewish Christians, or as they call themselves, okay, Messianic Christians are praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And by when you're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, as long as Jericho stands established, they're praying against their own soul. So those which support Israel, okay, are today supporting a derision. Okay, and that's why the beast will rule the whole world, starting in Jerusalem. But look at verse 34 here. Now, in Ahab's days, in his days did Hiel, the Bethelite, build Jericho. Okay, that right there, he built Jericho. This was a rich man, okay, that saw an aspiration here. Okay, he saw, look at all this ruins over here. I can rebuild this. But Hiel was not a man of faith. It was in the days of Ahab. Apostasy was now coming to its fruition. So in his days did Hiel, the Bethelite, build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof, and Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof, and his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Joshua, the son of Nun. The stewardship of Joshua said this, cursed be the man that again builds this city, that when this city is built, Israel is full of hypocrisy. Okay, now let's go back to Romans. To pray for the peace of Jerusalem is, again, assisting its hypocrisy. You want God to bless their apostasy, see? That shows how dark the false religious system is in. The false religious system has its roots in these deep traditions which honor man and not God who created man. Now I'm back in Romans now, and as we go through Romans here, we read about Elijah here, and also we did some exploring here in Revelation and also in Kings. Now look here in verse 5. Even so, at this present time. So the Apostle Paul is bringing to the understanding of the Romans that as it happened 1,000 years ago, it's happening today. In his time, it's happening today in our time. It hasn't changed. Israel, one of the major signs of the end times, was the Abrahamic clock being fulfilled, of Israel being called back into its own land. And being called back into his own land, God did not allow them to build a temple yet, because that's not going to take place until the beast, until the time of the beast, okay, as we're nearing that time now. Okay, everything is getting ready for that. So here, when Paul is writing to Romans, the temple is still there, but of course the temple was destroyed, not to be rebuilt, okay, until the last generation. So even so at this present time, also, only a small group of believers will come out. Only those, there's a small group of concentrics which come out from that house, the house of Satan. Even so then, at this present time, also there's a remnant according to election of grace. So there is a small group, even as we witness today. The small group speaks of this time. It is a fulfillment of prophecy, okay, of what God is doing today, the restoration, according to the election of grace. So it is today, for there is only a few now in covenant, as is revealed in the Father's bosom, that love him as agreed. Those which consent on the other side of the flood are also consenting to the terms of the covenant on this side to show their love towards God. So let's finish it up here in verse 6. So, and if by grace, that means if by revelation that we obey him, then there's no more of works, that means of race or culture. It's not of race or of culture, okay, or man's philosophy. We can't love God by race or by culture, okay, because those things would be for a boasting. And of course, this has no power to it. The Spirit will not work with error. The anointing will not work with a lie, because in him is truth and in him is no lie. So if by grace, then there's no more of works, so the moral code. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Because this power has no longer an effect upon one's faith. But if it be of works, but if it be by the record of man or by the moral code, if it's by that, then it's going to lack the likeness of God. Okay, it's going to lack the likeness of God to increase the soul. So if it be of works, then there's no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Our labor is no more to be recognized by God, because it won't be sanctified by God, but it will be a temptation to God. You'll be tempting the Lord.